Blog Talk Radio.
Naked Shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Everybody, welcome to withinsightsradio.com. Welcome to Iggy Garcia Live. I am Iggy Garcia. I want to welcome everybody to the show. I hope everybody's having a beautiful, wonderful memorial break. And I also want to remember the people who actually have given their lives and sacrificed for us too on this beautiful sunny day here in Columbus, Ohio. I know we've had a lot of family members in my family who served and given their lives for that service. And just want to take a little moment and remember them and honor them for the sacrifice that they've given. Okay. Today has just been a beautiful day. I actually spent the day with my dad, hung out with him, went to see my mom's grave. I know my mom passed away here in February, but my uncle actually, who was in the service, he passed away back in 1983. That was December 2nd, if I recall. And I remember being in high school in my freshman year, and I was telling my friends earlier today how it was just crazy snow. And, you know, at that moment, you just kind of knew that something had happened. And when I got home, we didn't have cell phones back then, you know, barely computers. And, you know, I remember my dad saying, you know, your uncle passed away. He died, died of leukemia. But it was one of those moments. And today we got to see his grave. My dad is doing pretty good. He's a widower now. So he's moving along and he's doing the best he can. It's been hard for him, so I've just been kind of close with him. And today's just a day just to remember and honor that. So that's kind of what we did. My friends and I got together today, and we drummed it up here in Clintonville and just kind of jammed it up and had a good time. And we had an excellent little barbecue. And if you want to check out our little jam session, check us out on Facebook. But today I want to, you know, share some stuff with you that tomorrow we have a sound gathering. So if those of you who have been to our sound gathering, you know, that's the sound bath where we use the crystal bowls and all the Tibetan bowls and all the different types of instruments that are not drum-related. So this is not a drum circle for those of you who love our drum circles. But if you can make it tomorrow, that's at 6:15 to 8:30. Hopefully you can join us. But today we have a special guest, and we're going to be doing a little interview. And my guest is actually someone who's familiar with Columbus and is pretty well known around the holistic community. So we're going to bring him on. His name is Dr. Peter Fairfield. He'll be joining us here just shortly, and I'm going to bring him on. But this interview is open for phone calls. So for those of you who would like to call and ask questions, the number is 646-595-3440. He will be giving readings online. So those of you who want a reading, I recommend you call that number. I'm not going to take anything on the live stream since we are in live stream. It's just too much complication with live stream. For those of you who really want to get in depth with what we're going to be doing, I encourage you to call our call-in number, 646-595-3440, and ask Dr. Fairfield, you know, questions that you would like to, you know, and whatever you want him to, you know, kind of delve into. I would just ask that you keep it short and to the point. And, you know, and if you want a session or some time with him where you want to go in depth with him, I'm sure he'll take you down that journey. But hopefully everybody's having a great day. I'm doing pretty good. So I'm glad to see the faces that I'm familiar with here on the live stream. I want to say hi to Joanne, and I'll say hi to Sue and see who else is on here. We got quite a bit of people on here, so it's scrolling pretty quick. But I want to thank you for joining. So my guest today is Dr. Peter Fairfield. He's an OMD, LAC. Okay, he's a doctor of professional oriental medicine. He specializes in psychiatric and pain transformational issues. And also, he's a Qigong teacher. And he's currently developing some first real doctoral programs in oriental medicine and psychiatry. And so hopefully he'll be able to share with us his story. And I'm pretty excited about our guest. Like I said, I always get excited when we bring new people in who's going to share their insights with us, within them sharing with us. So let's bring him on. Let's get him going. Let's get this interview rolling. And like I said, if you have questions, please, please, please call 646-595-3440. And here we go. Dr. Fairfield, are you there?
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good, my friend. How are you?
Good. I'm talking to you from a mountainside in New Mexico, and my dog Hannah, who's half coyote, just ran across the room to bark at somebody in the front. So you may hear a half coyote barking, but she's a wonderful dog. She works in my clinic. And I want to say hello to everybody in Columbus. I lived there many years ago, and I've been back four or five times in the last couple of years doing seminars and working on people there. And Columbus is a very interesting place. I've taught seminars all around the world, and when I teach seminars, especially for acupuncturists and physicians, diagnosis, which is a technique of assessing how the body's working from feeling the pulse. And in the whole country, I find the most balanced pulses in Columbus. So you guys
really?
Can figure that out. There's still craziness there, but there's a wonderful core. I think it's because it's the center of the country and the ground is very solid.
This is true. So, you know, you've been doing this for quite some time, like over 40-some years from when I was reading your bio here. Just kind of, it's pretty extensive. So, I mean, we could kind of almost go any direction, you know, asking you questions. I think you're full of wisdom and knowledge and all the kind of things you go. But I would like to know that you're going to be sharing here with us here in June 2nd and 3rd in Columbus. You're going to be doing a seminar, correct?
Yes. One of the reasons we're talking today is that coming Saturday and Sunday, I'm doing a workshop in Columbus. It's called Healing from the Inside Out, and it's using advanced transformational techniques and energy systems and Qigong to go in and open up all the places where we're stuck and we hurt and find a way to just move through them so that we can feel a wonderful joie de vivre or a joy of life, and we can find inner guidance and we can find intuition. And, you know, those are the things that keep us on the planet and guide us and keep us out of the shadows. And so we'll be working with both as a group, and also the people that want to will be working with individuals in the group. And it's a very powerful system. I've spent over 40 years studying meditation and the physiology of personality and spiritual development, from Chinese medicine, Tibetan medicine, Vedic medicine, and, of course, Western neurophysiology, and pretty much whatever I can find anywhere, trying to figure out how it worked and why and how to heal.
Now, it seems like you're kind of your profession is kind of geared more toward the Oriental medicine and specialization. Am I correct with that, or is that something a little more deeper? Are you familiar with proven shamanism? Any type of work like that in that kind of capacity?
Oh yeah, I've been doing healing work a little bit at least since I was a little boy. I'm licensed as an acupuncturist and doctor of Oriental medicine in both California and New Mexico, but I spent many years in Nepal. I had a clinic for 7 years in Nepal, and I've done extensive research and retreats in the Tibetan Buddhist and the Chinese Quan, the Qigong traditions in China and Tibet, also the number of traditions in India and some of the shaman traditions in India, and also with Native Americans. So I've studied everything I could everywhere, although I'm licensed as a doctor of Oriental medicine acupuncturist.
Awesome. Very good. I know that you talk about rebooting your system and getting things going. So, I mean, how do you figure that? How does that work? I mean, how is that something that you begin to do?
Well, you know, when you think about it, when we're born, we're not quite a fresh seed, because we have the momentum from both parents. You know, we have the momentum of genetics, and as Rupert Sheldrake calls it, morphogenics, from the father and the mother that come up through the body. Actually, the father's family comes up through the right kidney, for instance, and the mother's family comes up through the left kidney. And so we have momentum of our ancestors. Now, many of us have had very difficult experiences with our family, and so we might want to think, well, I'm not sure I want to connect to my family because they're nuts or crazy or painful. But when we think about it, even people that are mean or traumatized or very difficult, way inside they have a Buddha nature or a Christ consciousness, often it's very hidden. And so you find even violent animals like sharks and things like that, they take care and they nurture their young. And way inside, I've worked with tens of thousands of people from varying degrees of difficulty, from very, very kind of nuts and crazy to kind of normal, but just need a balance. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Went dead. And so what we find is these patterns from our ancestors create shifts in our physical and emotional energetic body. But deeper than that, there's also a goodness, even from crazy families. If you go way inside, you'll find that even from the meanest, craziest people, you, in most cases, you can break them down a little bit, and there's a soft, tender, hurt place in there. And that's from mean people and really severely wounded people, you'll almost always find that the inside is a deep, soft place. And in that deep, soft place, they wish their offspring and their children well, even though it's hard to find. So when we tune into our ancestors, we're not turning into the crazy personalities of Uncle Harry and Aunt Bee. We're tuning into the essential essence of the survival of our species and the whole history of our genetics and morphogenetics. And then, so that creates patterns in the organs and how we think and how we feel. And those things can be changed and opened. Now, also, we have a heart. And the heart is not just a beating lump. It's actually a very powerful spiritual and transformational organ. Embryologically, it comes from the crown chakra and drops down into the chest. And so it's wired to connect up to the crown in embryology. It's be the top of the nodal cord, but it's also connected to the higher dimensions. So from the heart, we have a non-dual history of all our consciousness has ever been, and that comes down into the body, and that meets the genetic momentum and habits of both parents. So a whole human being rests between the power and wisdom and history of our genetic line, and our spiritual connection to the higher dimensions and our guidance and all that, and that meets in the body. So as we begin to be mm-hmm. present in the body, using breathing techniques, qigong, all that kind of thing, which is what we'll do this weekend, we begin to clear out the resistance to the wisdom and the love and the experience from the ancestors and the guidance and the spiritual attunement from the higher dimensions. And it sounds complicated, but it's actually very simple. It's as simple as taking a breath and looking outside and seeing something beautiful and let that transmit inside. So it's detailed, but it's also simple. And it's fun.
So it sounds like that we're going to be particular seminar. We're going to be working about, and I know it's healing from inside out. So we're going to be working on generation energies. Something that is it something that's genetically, or is it something like, I know you said something, you did mention, but I know in shamanism, we also talk about seven generations deep of healing our ancestors within that generation. So,
well, I don't have it down for just seven. I suspect it goes back mm-hmm. to, you know, at least seven, if not farther. And mm-hmm. by connecting our consciousness to these organs that are connected to our family and then connected out of time, we can create a flow, a clear flow. And by accepting mm-hmm. that into our bodies, we push apart aside the abuse or trauma or whatever we've had, because a lot of people have that, and we connect to a deeper nurturance that comes from our genetic essence. And then, because some people have loving families, so we want to emphasize that, but it's not hard or painful, and most times not scary, and we do it in a very supportive situation, and it's a powerful meditative experience to begin to feel connected to your ancestors, connected to the power and the momentum of those that came before you, because there's many
sure.
good things and there's powerful things.
Well, a lot of it, you probably get a little bit of awareness of who you are too, working with ancestral energies as well, getting to get to know something about yourself and why you are the way you are.
That's true, because, you know, we think, well, I'm an individual. Well, that's true, but so much of us, you know, like we might look like our father or mother or grandfather. My grandfather, for instance, on my father's side, he was a Christian missionary in China. And so I've got
okay.
pictures of him in 1903 with my grandmother, in China. and now China is a very important part of my life and my training. And so a lot of times these things skip a generation. There's certain things about me that's like my dad and my mom. I have a bad sense of humor from my mom. I'm artistic. And so, you know, we can go back and find certain traits that are a part of us, but yet we make them individual because our heart really comes from the divine. And so that's where we kind of mingle in and bring our own essence to it. So it's fascinating when we discover, like you talked about, the different parts of ourselves and how they're coming together, and also to discover parts of ourselves that we haven't trusted or we've resisted or haven't used enough or don't know yet. So it's a wonderful discovery to begin to open to the possibilities that are within us, and that connects us to possibilities without us. Well, here comes my coyote dog running through the living room again.
That's okay. We get some good coyote medicine dog. Yeah, we'll take it.
She's amazing. I have a center on a mountainside here just outside of Santa Fe. And so I have a dog, a cat, and a bird. And they each bring a certain kind of healing energy here. Of course, we have wild animals all around. We have bears and cougars and mountain lions and foxes and things. And so it's wonderful to feel the power of nature.
She's saying hello to somebody in Columbus.
Yeah, she is. She thinks she's guarding the place. Anna, you're
she's
on
giving...
to say hi.
what's your dog? What's your dog's name?
Her name's Hannah.
Hannah. Okay. I think she just wants to be acknowledged. Hi, Hannah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hannah, you're going coast to coast here.
There we go.
Now the cat's looking around. I came home the other day, I opened the door, and the cat, the dog, and the bird were standing in a row waiting for me. That's so funny.
Oh, wow. What kind of bird do you have?
It's a cockatiel. You know,
cockatiel.
I think it's so
okay,
important
cool.
to be in touch with animals and plants and nature, and it reminds us that, you know, human beings are part of a whole, and that it's so comforting,
mm-hmm.
unless they're trying to wake you up to go for a walk and you want to sleep.
You know, it's funny that you brought that up because, you know, being raised Catholic and from Peru, South America, we have our saint is San Martin de Porres. One of his miracles was to bring a dog, a cat, and a mouse together and hanging out, you know.
Wow.
You've got a dog, a cat, and a cockatiel.
Yes, and I'm going to go outside and keep the dog quiet so it's easier on your listeners here. Okay. All right.
Our little animal-furry loving friend.
Yeah, my vacuum knows it's true. Oh, here's the cat. I have a cat called Cosmo. He's pretty cool. I actually have a psychic friend in Columbus, and apparently the dog, the cat, and the bird all visit at night. So... as long as they find their way back.
You're going to get my dog started. My dog's starting to bark now. Heard your dog. Got a big Great Dane.
So, you know, one of the things that I think is important to mention here, there are so many different systems and there are so many different ideas about what's spirituality and what's healing. And so for me, I've studied a lot of different systems and there have been systems that are very meaningful to me. But I think the thing that we're doing is not necessarily pushing a particular system or particularly religious format. We're just beginning to open and find freedom in our body and our hearts and our minds and our genetic wisdom and our intuitive knowing. And then it's up for each person to discover how they use that or what that means to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once we begin to feel more solid in our connection with intuition and knowledge and guidance, then we're led really to the right place in the right way. I've got a book out. It's called Deep Happy, How to Get There and Always Find Your Way Back. And it's about connecting to the place inside us that's already happy. We will be doing some of that this weekend. And then once you get to that place, that's where the universe speaks to us. You know, we think the universe is so big and so huge, But really, if you remember that the illusions are time and space, I mean time and matter, and that the reality is infinite connection, then as soon as we start to feel ourselves and kind of connect to that place, the universe just takes us places and tells us things and brings people into our lives and removes people from our lives in some cases. And we find that we're so held in this infinite cosmological womb or hand that holds us and guides us. You know, we begin to understand the things that happen to us are lessons and ways that we can learn and be. And we stop being negative about things. We stop being fearful about things. And we start to have this trust in who we are and the flow of life that we're a part of. And it just takes the fear out of things. You know, it takes the anxiety and the tension out of things. And the universe will prove it to you. I mean, it'll totally and completely prove it to you. A friend of mine years ago didn't have any money, and he was in Hawaii. He had a brand new baby, and he just knelt down into the ocean and just with a prayer said, you know, God, I just want to feed my family tonight. And he looked down, and I think a $10 bill just floated up between his legs. So I'm not promising that if you come to my seminar, you're going to win the lottery, although who knows. But I will say that anybody that takes the time to pay attention to themselves and to notice where they're stuck and to gently open those places and find what it's like to be whole, you're going to find a very succinct and clear connection to guidance and to the infinite universe that we are intricately a part of. It's such a beautiful and positive experience.
Yeah, it's the universe within ourselves, too, is probably one of the most things that we deal with every day. And I know personally myself, I have to work through some things like everybody. We all do. But what is the biggest thing that you find that people, the hardest thing they have to work through to do the self-healing that they're running into? Because a lot of people want to be healed. You know, that's the thing that in our community, we're healers, but we're the energy that we heal through is very universal and it comes through us. And I know a lot of people put a lot of faith and a lot of trust in people to heal them. Do you believe that you actually heal somebody, or do you believe that you are our conduit of that energy flowing through you?
Well, you got about 3 hours. No, it can be as simple. You know, the thing is, we know the truth. The truth exists in all of us. And with luck and help and hope, we can always find the truth. We can feel when we're on the right track and in the wrong track. And sometimes that truth will bring us to people that help us uncover what the truth is, or help us to trust our truth, or to show us that they don't know anything about truth, and we knew that about them, but we didn't listen, and now we know that. And, you know, so a good teacher is someone that helps you discover the truth inside yourself. I've been so fortunate. I've had very powerful, enlightened teachers in the Himalayas and even here. And nobody told me to do anything. No, nobody told me I was something. They all just loved me and helped me to begin to discover the truth in myself. And that's kind of what this weekend is about. And so that's really what, you know, we're up to. And so in some sense, nobody can heal us. We have to do that ourselves. But sometimes we need to hear something in a different way, or somebody has worked hard in a certain area that can help us move through a certain thing. We have to allow it. We have to open to it. We have to make it okay. And we have to hold on to our own perception to see if it's going in a way. And so it's up to us, but we can bring in helpers and guides at various times. But of course, in the end, it's up to the individual. So it's a wonderful experience. You know, so many times people from dysfunctional families think they have to do it themselves. So I have to heal myself. I have to do this. I have to do that. That's because they don't trust the bonding experience of connection to people. We've been hurt and damaged and traumatized, and and we like people, but we don't quite let ourselves get very close. I grew up in a family where there really wasn't hugging or kissing or anything like that. And I lived in I moved into a spiritual community years ago, and everybody hugged. And for the first few months, they would hug me. We'd kind of go stiff and go, when is this over? But then I got to like it, and I got to realize that the connection to humanity is what really keeps us alive. You know, one of the things, one of the bits of information about long-lived people, I mean, yeah, it's good not to eat too much bacon, and it's good to not do this and that. But the longest-lived people are people that make connections. You know, they say hi to the person at the grocery store. They talk to their neighbor. They, you know, they're open to people that they meet on the street. They're open to connection to humanity, both known and met. And so the more that we begin to trust ourselves and feel okay and look at our fear and realize we don't need that, then the more and more we're able to connect to humans and people and animals and trees and plants. And pretty soon you feel that you're just in this infinite community of life that has all these forms. And we don't have to be afraid. We can be aware. Especially in this crazy world, we need to be aware. But awareness and fear are different. And mm-hmm. So as we know ourselves, the subtle differentiation between fear and awareness becomes apparent. And, you know, a lot of us have crazy minds. You know, our minds are going round and round. I think this, can't do that. Oh, about this. And what we find is that when the mind is going round and round, it's a smokescreen because we've learned that it was dangerous to feel something in our body because there was so much pain or so much aggression or whatever it was when we grew up that I didn't know how to feel it, didn't know how to process it. So I learned to be busy in my head. Think about this or think about that. And the busy mind keeps us from our body. And all you have to do to slow the mind down is begin to feel the body. We use the breath and some very simple processes in the coming workshop. And other people do this too. It's not just me. But as we begin to trust the body and trust the experiences in the body, then what happens is our mind stops and slows way down. And rather than being something that takes our energy and keeps us from reality and the truth and even knowing who we are, it begins to be a guide. It begins to be a computer screen where little things pop up. Oh, you might want to turn left. There's going to be traffic. Or, oh, I need to call someone. Or it becomes this wonderful open field of clear messages, guidance, and wisdom. And so when the mind slows down, then we realize infinite source of knowledge and possibility and being, all from slowing down and being still. And stillness is another thing, you know. Stillness is not something that our modern Western world garners. You know, we watch TV, we're busy, we go from here to there, we drive, we're in traffic, we listen to radio shows as good as they are. But yeah. We don't often get to stillness. Everything that's not the truth arises and goes away in stillness. Everything that's illness arises and dissolves in stillness. Stillness is the most powerful catalyst in the world. And so most of us don't have much stillness in our lives anymore. And as soon as we have stillness, we have knowing and guidance and being and happiness. Happiness doesn't come from being busy. Well, I mean, you know, can't say that if you're doing stuff you like and it's meaningful to you, you're happy. But most of the time we forget to be happy. We get our new car, we go on a date, or we have a good dinner. Oh, this tastes really good. But we don't really bring it into the marrow. We don't take it in as a deep, 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 deep nourishment. And once we start doing that, life becomes so much easier because we are filled up all the time rather than running on empty, running on a very thin, tired, nervous, active place. I need to take a deep breath after saying
that. I'm with you on that. Take a deep breath. Now, I'm curious about why you named your book Deep Happy. What is Deep Happy? I'm just curious. I haven't read your book, so I didn't know how you can explain
a little bit about your book. Well, it's better than Deep Doo-Doo.
Deep doo-doo, yeah, okay.
Although I guess if you're in deep doo-doo, then you need deep happy. The whole premise of the book, and really it's how I see the world, is that way, way inside us, there's a place that is happy. It's a place where we are connected to God and the universe. It's where we're kept alive and nourished and guided beyond time and space. And it's a place where we all meet. And every single being has that inside them. And as I said a few minutes ago, once we touch that place, once we find that place inside us that doesn't change, it's always there for us. It's just where we are, way beneath the personality, way deep, a deep, happy place. Then we're okay, because we always know where to go. We always know where to heal. We know where to find an answer. We know where to rest, and it's in everyone. So this weekend, as we undo the parts that keep us from there, we should be able to drop deeper and deeper into that deep, happy place. Although I didn't actually mention that on the flyer, but it's really a lot of what I do and what I teach this year.
I think we're catching some wind from you there.
Oh, why don't we go back inside?
No, just, I don't know. I just heard something there.
Well, I'm sitting outside on my deck now. I'm looking across the El Dorado Valley. I can see the mountains just outside of Albuquerque, about 45, 50 miles away. It's sunny,
nice.
And there's surrounded by trees and juniper, and I've got a crow dome over there with my plants that need to be planted. And it's just a beautiful day. We get as much sun as anywhere in the world here. We get sun, 340 days a year, I think, here.
Nice.
Okay, and you guys have a lot of rain. I trade you some sun for rain. Every time I talk to my
car, yeah.
Raining.
It's not too bad now. We won't get rain till Wednesday, so we'll save you some. You can take some clouds with you.
I hope so. We had a little bit of a drought here. I'm going to go back in and sit next to my dog so she starts to bark.
Hi, Hannah. Want to be on the radio?
Oh, there's my bird.
No, your bird's right in the interview.
Probably sounds like a pet store.
Hannah's
waving at the phone here.
So you're going to be using the Qigong energies there on your cloud, your seminar this weekend. Is there anything that you could do with our listeners here? That's something they can just do real quick. So they can kind of get a taste of what it's going to be like in your seminar, so they can get kind of enticed to go.
Yeah. Well, the first thing everybody wants to do is take a deep breath. Now, that's the most common thing anybody ever says. But you want to make sure it goes all the way down to your pubic bone. That's the horizontal bone at the bottom of your abdomen. And the last 2 or 3 inches are the most important. When we inhale all the way down there and it stretches up to the pubic bone, means we switch from, in Western science, we go from sympathetic to parasympathetic. And parasympathetic means we are totally relaxed. We switched into a self-nourishing, self-aware state. And once we begin to breathe down there, we begin to notice that our heart might be a little tight, or we have some pain in our, or a little tightness in our digestive system, or we might notice a sadness or heaviness. And then, so once we start to get a somatic awareness, then we can go into those places and experience them. And as soon as we experience them, then they change and open and become part of the system. So one interesting thing we can do, if everybody closes your eyes, and now move your eyeballs right and left, up and down, and feel your eyeballs inside your eye socket.
Mm-hmm.
And just feel these orbs that allow you to see all the miracles of the universe. And at the very front of the eyeball, if you move your eyelids, you can begin to feel the cornea and the lenses of the eye. And you might notice you might have some tension there.
Mm-hmm.
And as you come back into the eyeballs themselves, what do the fluids feel like in the eye? And often at the top of the eyeball, where it's connected to the bony cave that the eyeballs live in, the orbits, the sockets, sometimes there's tension at the very top. And if we just kind of relax that tension and breathe into it a little bit, we begin to find that, that our eyes begin to relax. Maybe our vision becomes clearer. And from there, we can go inside the head. And just as an experience, you know, we have a right side of our brain and a left side of our brain. So
yes.
Notice, are you on the right side of your head looking left, or are you on the left side of your head looking right, or are you in the middle? So if we're in the right side of our head looking left, we might be a more intuitive person. We might be more sensory and that sort of thing. If we find that we're on the left side of our brain looking right, we might be more of a structured, organized person. If we're looking in the middle and it's very relaxed, it may be that you're in a very balanced brain state. And so one of the things that we'll do is go into the various brain parts, and we find that we can go into, in the middle of the brain, there's a part called the corpus callosum. You don't have to remember that. But that's what separates the two brains, and you can actually go in there and feel tension patterns between that and begin to let that relax and feel the hemispheres merge. You can go into the heart. If you go down into your chest, begin to feel what's there. Sometimes it feels like numb or tight. Sometimes it feels warm and open. If you go to the spine right behind the heart and begin to breathe into that, you can feel the vertebrae expanding and relaxing. From the heart, you can feel that come up through the top of the head and up to the various dimensions, and you can begin to take guidance from the various places. So we would spend a lot more time doing what we just did, but so we're learning to innervate parts of our body and go into parts of our body where we have holding places, there's a whole process I have of releasing tension from the ancestors and getting to take messages mm-hmm. from the ancestors, and so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting when you kind of just did that little demonstration. I was able to go right to the right side of my body, you know, when my eyes were closed. I can focus through the middle.
Well, that's figures, Mr. Shaman.
And then, what's that?
That's figures, but then Mr. when Shaman.
I tried to go left, and it was really difficult to go there. I couldn't, my eyes didn't want to go that way. They were just kind of like, it was a little bit of hesitation there. I could feel it.
But so let me give you an example. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Don't try hard. And we're not moving the eyes. What we're doing.
I just went over there. I was just noticed that. You know, I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
As you
so you want to get it to the left side before you do your taxes and pay your bills.
This is true.
So the point of what I'm just saying is, just like we would, you know, reprogram our computer. You asked about rebooting. You know, so you might want to put on different applications and so forth. But we can set up our brain and our body to do various things. And, you know, if we want to really be out there, like, for instance, there's a certain place on the side of the head, right at the border between the parietal and the temporal bone, which is kind of above in front of the ear. And if you focus on that place, on that particular brain part, it creates a sensation of timelessness.
Interesting.
Because that's the area of the brain that creates that has the sense of time, and so we can go to these various parts just by opening up the heart. We begin to feel a wonderful connection, and we can allow that happiness to flow through the body. If you're on a date and you're going to be intimate, you can open up those organs, and we can really program whatever we want, and we can notice where there's a resistance. I worked with a woman today in my office. I don't mean to sound too racy, and I'm not promising anything racy at the seminar, but she said that her orgasms, you know, had been less. And so we led her back to some stuff from her previous husband, and we released that, and I guess she's going to go home and find out how they are now. But what I'm saying is, you know, you can pick there. And again, don't get your hopes up at the. I'm not promising a lot of that in the seminar. So, but but what I'm saying is, you can find an area in your life where things are less than they were, or they aren't quite what you hoped they would be. And because I've been an acupuncturist for over 40 years, and I know the body, both Western and Eastern, we can find the patterns that we can open, shift, change, or reconnect. We can reboot them. And then all of a sudden things work better. They work differently. And so that's, you know, that's kind of how we work here. So instead of doing acupuncture, I take people through the various important parts of their body. In the beginning, the first half of the first day, we'll just be kind of opening up the mechanism, tuning up the car a little bit, and getting everything going, and then we'll start working a little bit.
Nice. All right, we're going to take a quick 30-second break, and we're going to come right back with our interview with Peter Fairfield, Dr. Peter Fairfield, I want to say that correctly. I want to honor his
title
there.
Oh, you can call me Peter.
I'll call you Peter then, sir. I'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. Welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia. This is Iggy Garcia Live. A Monday night show here. Our guest is Peter Fairfield. He is talking with us about his upcoming class or seminar he's going to be teaching here in Columbus, Ohio, Healing from the Inside Out, and hopefully some good nuggets here. For those of you who have any questions for Peter Fairfield, the number is 646-595-3440. Again, that's 646-595-3440. Don't be shy. He'll give you a reading as well. Peter, you were talking about that you do you're a medical intuitive. So explain to me that a little bit about that. I know kind of what it is, but I think the person I'm kind of familiar with is who was kind of like that was Edgar Cayce. Is that something kind of like that?
Well, I certainly don't want to say that I'm, you know, up at Edgar Cayce's level. I was kind of certified by the same doctor that did Carolyn Mice or Miss. I probably don't, you know, I have my areas. Like if I talk to somebody, I can usually describe what's going on emotionally, psychophysiologically. I mean, that's kind of my better area. I wouldn't want to say that I can see cancer or stuff like that. That's not really where I focus on. But as we begin to know ourselves and be kind of clear, then we begin to notice other things. Like, for instance, I've known that pretty much everybody has the ability, when they hear a name, to go into that name and know about the person whose name it is. I've done this in seminars. Maybe we'll do it this weekend. I hadn't thought about it. To pair up, get in a meditative state, have some person mention a name, and then the other person describes what they feel from the name. And I think it's a very primitive ability that we all have. I haven't, when I set it up in kind of experimental situations like that, I found everybody can do it. And so, but like anything, you get better. So when I hear a name, usually I can describe, you know, that person in detail. I worked as a consultant to a lot of physicians around the world. They call me up and I kind of tell them what I see. And by the way, for those that couldn't come or don't want to come to the seminar this weekend, although obviously that would be a grave error on your part. Just kidding. I will be seeing – I do have time to see a few clients when I'm there, probably Monday. And then I also do at least half of my work now on the phone with people all over the world. So I have a whole way of working with people. So if anybody would like to work with me privately, I'll give you my contact information, and you can also get it from the website. Did you post the flyer on your website?
I have the flyer, yes. And I also have the contact information for
you. Okay. So I'll give it to you now. If you don't have a pencil, It's Peter Fairfield, and then my phone number is 415-377-0862, 415-377-0862. My website is oneinfiniteheart.com. I have a bunch of videos on YouTube under Tara Center, T-A-R-A Center, or Peter Fairfield. And also, if you want to sign up, you can call me if you have questions about the workshop. And also, I have a wonderful woman who helps me in Columbus, who's a talented psychic. She's an author, and she lectures on a number of things herself. Many of you may know her, Jacqueline Smith. And her number is 614-436-31. She's actually doing the sign-ups for the workshop. And the address is on the flyer and all that. Also, Friday night, it's coming Friday night, from 7 to 8:30, I'll be giving a talk at Body Wisdom at 3001 Indianola Avenue, and Awake and Aware and Happy in Interesting Times. And so that will give you a chance to check me out, see if you want to come on the weekend. If you're not sure, you can come Saturday and see if you like it. I'm not letting people come Sunday unless they come Saturday, because we build up a momentum. And if for some reason you came on Saturday and you didn't like it by half day, you can leave and not pay. Although, actually, I've never had anybody do that. But it could happen. Who knows? So anyway, if you have questions for me, you can call now, or you can get a hold of me or at one of those sources, either through Iggy, which obviously this is a great source, or my website or my YouTube channel.
I know some folks on the live stream on Facebook, you want to ask some questions. I highly recommend that you call our call-in number at 646-595-3440. If you're interested in getting a reading, that's going to be the best way to do it, just because it's hard to do. We want to actually be able to hear you and you talk to Peter directly. So, Marion, those of you who are asking, so those are the number. So call in if you can. We've got plenty of time for the show. So, all right. Where we leave off. We left off. We were talking about, being a medical intuitive. I know that's, I find that very interesting, medical intuitive, because how does that go hand in hand with Western medicine, for example, being a medical intuitive in Western medicine?
Well, it's just another map. I personally have been, although I have many friends that are doctors and, some of my field of interest is psychiatry. I have quite a few friends that are psychiatrists, but they're very open to alternatives. They're open to other ideas. I find, unfortunately, if we think of what Western medicine, it's basically a scientific system of physiology and pathology and anatomy. But then it's the interpretation of what things mean has been really, I think, misfocused by the drug company's financial interest and the difficulty of running that huge system. Unfortunately, America has probably the worst medical system of all of the industrialized nations and the most expensive. I don't necessarily blame it on the doctors. It's a huge system. But there are many doctors out there that are thinking openly and realizing that there's big problems. I worked in hospitals myself for a number of years, 40-some years ago, as an orderly and psych tech, and some of the basic jobs where I got to see it. I wasn't impressed, and I was impressed with the people, but not necessarily the system that they were working with. So I began to study other energetic systems and Asian medical systems. I spent a lot of time in India and China and Europe and a certain amount of time in Africa and South America, visiting clinics and doctors and looking at various healing systems and figuring out who's doing what well. I think America's system is very top heavy, and it's very difficult to have a life here with a disease, and it should be that way. People should be looked after, and they should not have a fear for their medical system. So, I'm here not to accuse, but to offer help. And it's an opinion, but it's an opinion based on, 45 years at least of being part of the medical system. I am licensed by two states, so I'm you know, I am evolved into that area, but I think if you're medical intuitive, to get back to your original question, sorry for the political diatribe there, but Western medicine is just a map. And so if you see things in that, from that map, from those symbols, then you can interpret it in that way. I know Western physiology and anatomy very well, and I also know the other medical systems from Asia and so forth. So that's the language that I see things in. You know, we had a lady, I'm a professor at the acupuncture school here in Santa Fe. They had a lady come in the other day with a tinnitus ringing in her ear. And, you know, from a Chinese medical point of view, the gallbladder and bridging goes around, there could be things. But we really traced it down to a latent infection in a molar. And she'd had some dental work 2 years before where they had not cleaned out the tooth root well. And so it created an inflammation going back to her ear. And, you know, so that's a very Western way of looking at it. So it's, you know, all the systems have benefits. You just have to be careful of faulty interpretations of them. So, you know, being a medical intuitive, it's not just psychic. You're also looking for pattern recognition. I mean, I've done this, I don't know, what have I seen, 30, 40,000 people. So a lot of it's pattern recognition. It's not actually psychic. It's just seeing things. And also from the voice, you can hear all kinds of things. Usually I can do diagnosis from the voice, emotional diagnosis, organ diagnosis, just from vocal tones and things like that. So, you know, it's not just psychic, but there's also a very solid foundation of signals that we perceive and interpret.
Very good. Peter, we do have a couple callers actually. So if you want to take a call, you let me know when you'd like to.
Sure, I'll make a fool of myself in public. Let's go for it.
Hey, at least you're honest, right? Here we go. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi,
Iggy. This is Karen Moisty.
Hi, Karen.
And in December, I had an operation on a hiatal hernia. And I've just found out from some testing that it didn't take. And now they have to repeat the surgery. So I was hoping that maybe Peter might be able to give me some insight into, intuitive reading or whatever he can give me.
Is it okay if I talk to you about you and a little bit of your background?
Yes.
Okay. When I listen to you, there's a sense of walking on eggs a little bit, like you grew up in a place that wasn't quite safe and you were kind of always on guard and kind of alert a little bit. And obviously, you've done work on yourself and facilitated that to a certain extent. The whole idea of the hiatal hernia is when we have fear and anxiety in the epigastric area, which is the upper part of the abdomen, the stomach, the heart actually begins to shut down a little bit and become tight and a little dense. And literally, the stomach tries to get closer to the heart in a hiatal hernia. And in Chinese medicine, there's a thing called the five elements, also exists in Vedic and Tibetan medicine. But the heart actually is the element of fire that nourishes earth. And so I would recommend probably not doing another surgery. There's a lot of easier, cheaper, safer things to do that. It's hard to believe that they could not. If it failed, it means that they had no idea what they were doing, because I would guess that they're kind of sewing things back. So you should get your money back, because it's a simple surgery and it's great incompetence that they couldn't even pull that off. So pardon me for being a little blatant. It's not your fault, sweetie. It's, you know, it's the system. So just as did you listen to the part where we were doing breathing into the lower abdomen?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. When we're on hyper alert and we grew up not feeling safe, we're always kind of up, you know, we're looking around, we want to make sure what's happening, we don't want to say or do the wrong thing and so forth. And I know you have a will and, you know, you have a certain flair that you can put out, but there's this guarded place. And so when that happens, the energy goes up. And so as we learn to relax and lower our energy, the stomach doesn't try to get up through that little hole up to the heart. It actually begins to settle. And once that happens, then you can create a tightening of the little hole that the there's a little tube that goes from the mouth down to the stomach, and basically that comes up, and the stomach comes up through that hole, and that's where that's it's called a hernia, because that the hole kind of opens, and it comes from chronic tension in the diaphragm, which has to do with holding and frustration and tension and that sort of thing. So basically, you want to get your whole system's energy to go down rather than up, and in time, you know, it can heal. And you know, it's much more effective than surgery, because even if you have surgery, you still have that pattern of going up rather than down, and that's probably one of the reasons why the surgery didn't work well for you. But,
okay.
I'm happy to work with you on that. I'll be in town. I'm sure there are other people in town that can work with you in Columbus. But you want to change the patterns of how you are and who you are, because that's what creates something like a hiatal hernia. Hiatal hernia is not a disease. It's a situation based on a chronic pattern of being a certain way. So, you know, if you want to come to the workshop this weekend, we'll definitely be working on that kind of stuff. I'd love to see you. You can call me. We can talk about it, whatever you like. But there's definitely some easy resolutions for what you're doing.
And where will the workshop be held?
The workshop's going to be in West Columbus.
Okay.
And if you call Jacqueline Smith at 614-436-8831, she'll give you all the information. It's in the western part of Columbus.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. You have a nice evening.
I look forward to meeting you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Who else we got out there?
Okay. Click this on here.
Hello? Well,
welcome to the show. Hello?
Hello?
They must be listening. Oh, hold on. Here we go. Hello, welcome to the show.
G'day. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
hi.
Yeah. My name is Bob, and I'm calling from the Whitsunday Islands in Australia. And, loving the energy on the show. And I do have a question for you, Peter.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm 65 now, and I've been through the mill, and I've reached a place of personal contentment, but it took a lot of, inner work. And I'm slowly taking full responsibility for every aspect of my life. The issue I'm facing at the moment is I've just thrown Western medicine out the window because, you know, they were poisoning me for years. I've for the last 2 or 3 years, I've had an issue with my digestive system. It always feels uncomfortable and bloated, and not sure where that's coming from or what's the best deal.
You have a really clear situation. I mean, it's so good that you're taking responsibility for yourself, but even the way you say that word responsibility sounds like a pressure and a job. And you've got the surface very smooth and happy, but there's a part of you, and I don't mean to demean you at all, because I can see that you've gone through a whole lot and you've survived a lot, but there's still a disconnect going on with how you live and feel safe in the present time. And so your voice is really smooth, and I hear that, but I just don't think you're having enough fun.
I wake up giggling, my friend. I do. I wake up giggling. So, yeah. How can I put it? I'm totally content with me. So, and that's been why I haven't been able to put a finger on this issue, because
Christmas. I'm going to say a bad word. I don't mean to give you a hard time. I'm going to say bullshit. Okay? Because a happy, when we're content, our stomach feels good. Okay? Our stomach feels good when we're content. Now, you might have a parasite. Let me look here. There is some small parasite in there, which is part of it. Have you had a test for that?
Yeah, several of them involve taking triple antibiotics
Did they find something particular, or did you take the medicine as a precautionary mode?
Well, when I believed in Western pharmaceutical medicine, I went through their procedures, and then they advised me and prescribed Nexium for me, which actually caused an inflammation in the lower esophagus.
Right, but they didn't actually find a parasite, right?
A heliobacteria or something.
Okay, well, that's in the stomach. The heliobacter thing is different. Sometimes that's a good thing to do because it's the quickest way to get rid of to get the actual organ in the stomach back. But usually it requires a great deal of preparation so that you don't screw up the stomach. One of the best things that I recommend is just to take a plain old-fashioned hot water bottle like your grandmother used and just put it on your stomach. Okay? Now, when I hear your voice and I hear your content, I get that, and I get that there's peace in your life that maybe you haven't had for a long time or you didn't have for a long time, but it doesn't go down.
I was suicidal for 20 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So the thing is, when we're suicidal, means there's a deep issue that we can't push down far enough or we can't bring it up enough. And so it gets stuck in the middle, usually around the gut, okay? And so whatever that deep issue is, it's still lingering. I mean, you found a way to control it and you found a way to deal with it. But
Hang on, mate. I'll stop here, mate. I'm master and commander of my life. And I went back and healed the wounds of my childhood. So, you know, I've been through that process and I'm content with me. And it's like... I am the only expert on my life, and I'm going to close this conversation because I'm not into your arrogance. Goodbye.
No, can I say one thing, please? I get how strong you are. I get how much you've accomplished. I really do. I get that. I get how much you're doing better. I don't mean to diss you or put you down. I really don't. But there's a part of you that still feels bad, and that's your tummy. And in Chinese medicine and other systems of medicine, that has to do with being in the present moment, okay? And that has to do with what we feel in the present moment. That's what our digestive system does. It senses smells and tastes, and it gets things ready. And you've come so far. I was suicidal myself.
Yeah, I know.
So long.
Yeah, it's an awesome journey. It's been an awesome journey. I've had to face so many demons.
Please, I don't want to say anything bad about you because I get how far you've come, okay? I really do, and I honor that. But also, when
okay.
a tummy hurts, okay, I want to honor you for that. I'm really not, I don't mean to tell you to do a certain thing or that you haven't done anything, because I hear how much you've done, okay? I really do. But when our tummy hurts,
means
there's something about being, yeah, and you deserve that. But when our tummy hurts, means there's something about being in the moment that's not finished, okay? So if you want to call me back, you know, I'm happy to talk to you and or go somewhere else, but I think there's another step that will even get you happier and more satisfied with who you are and where you are.
Well, I hope so, Peter. Thanks for your time and your attention. How my life is now, I live in the now, and I do not own a pair of shoes. I walk this land barefoot, and I just love the way my life is unfolding. And, for me... Like, all I have is my story, my journey, my truth, and I've come to realize that the only person that's valid for is me, because for me, all are equal, all are unique, and all are sovereign. So much love and
Absolutely.
Joy on your journey too, Peter. Thank you for your time. Bye.
If you want to call me back sometime, I'm happy to talk to you.
Cool. Okay. We can put the boxing gloves down, can't we?
Oh, I love you, man. I don't want to hurt you in any way, shape, or form.
No worries. You can't. Nobody can hurt me.
Okay.
No.
Anyway,
nobody has power
best
over
of luck,
me.
And if I can help you in any way, please call, okay?
Thank you. And thank you, Izzy.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Iggy.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. I like my callers from Australia. They always have some really interesting things to share. Is it possible that even though when people are moving through that energy and going through that healing, like he did mention that he's in a better place, but maybe there's some residual still left over where he still kind of hasn't quite moved. I know what you were trying to get at, where you were going with it, and there's some aspects that maybe he hasn't seen. Because I know we were talking about the generational things earlier. Maybe there's a piece of him that just hasn't quite let go.
Well, I think we all have places like that. You know, obviously he's come a long way, and he's it's a relief based on where he's been, you know, but until we're enlightened, we all have places that we haven't healed yet. And most of the big ones are fairly easy to deal with. And then the more subtle ones are what we find in the advanced stages of meditation, because they're subtle. You know, who we think we are and our misperception of soul reality and that sort of thing. That's where the advanced work is. But the most important work is just getting rid of the big chunks of where we hurt and where we're disconnected and where we get reactive. And, you know, but he sounds like a wonderful guy. He's done great work on himself. But probably nobody listening to this show is finished with everything. And so if part of us hurts, if part of us, you know, it feels bad, then that's the place to deal with. Then we're not done. And so, but we don't have to do it all at once, and we don't have to do it right now. And maybe we can live with that. And we're fine because it's so much better than what it is. You know, if I have a nail in my head, you know, I'm so happy I got the nail out of my head that it doesn't matter whatever else is going on because it was so bad having a nail in my head. But, you know, at some point we might want to fix my knee or, you know, whatever. So, you know, there's things to do, but when we can't be ourselves, or when it's difficult to eat or sleep or be still or make a friend or any of those fundamental things that are normal and healthy in life, then that's where the work is, because we deserve to be happy. Life, although it has its challenges, we don't have to get sucked up in the reactivity of it all. I mean, we have bad days. I had a bad day the other day. I woke up and felt kind of depressed, but I was tired. But then I processed it. I watched it. I sat with it, and pretty soon I felt really good again. So it's not like we're perfect, but we want tools to move through things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're presenting this weekend.
There's perfection in the imperfection, like they say, right?
That's what they say.
That's what they say. It's like living with a splinter, you know? You can live, but it's an irritant. It's there. You can't quite get rid of it. But either way,
is this where we mentioned Trump?
I don't know. Our show usually doesn't get too political, but it's kind of funny that you brought up Trump, though. I mean, we you know, because I'm kind of like big on how we vibrate energetically as a collective and bring things into our life. For some reason, there's a lot of scenarios and a lot of things that I've heard where, you know, he's kind of been a kind of an awakening for us as a society to see the world in a different light, kind of in the aspect of Hitler, when Hitler came into power, you know, and he did all the atrocities that he did, it awakened people to do something about it, change the world, and, you know, manifest things differently. And so I guess Trump is a good example of that. You know, here's an opportunity for us to move into spaces and places and do things completely different versus complaining and bitching about it. And then we can actually say, well, what are we going to do different now? Okay, we got this guy, you know? I don't know, maybe you think differently, but for me, it's an opportunity to heal. It's an opportunity to awaken in the moment and do something, you know, more powerful than probably that we've done in the past. So I don't know. I don't look at him as a bad thing. I look at it as an opportunity.
It definitely is an awakening. I wouldn't put him quite in the Hitler category. He's not killing millions of people, but I think he is destroying the fabric of what Americans thought their country should be. And so, you know, for apparent greed and for apparent, you know, so it seems like it's creating a much bigger gap between the very wealthy and everybody else. And it's not the America that I want to live in or that I thought I lived in. And so, yes, I think it's something that needs to wake us up and make us clear and you know, and make us not sleepy anymore and take some action. However that is to you, maybe you like Trump, maybe he's good for you, but he's doing things that are different than I think we thought. So are there any other calls?
No, we don't have any calls at the moment.
Maybe we scared people away from Alaska.
You scared everybody off with Trump. You should have said Trump.
I want to send some really good energy to that man from New Zealand. He's a good soul who struggled hard, and I think we all ought to just send him some really good energy. It was brave for him to call and talk about that. It's hard. It's hard when life is so difficult because we can be kind of alone, and then we feel we have to sort of guard our territory a little bit because that's what we have, and it's tough. It's tough, you know, to give and help people like that without.
Human beings are fragile creatures. We're really, you know, we're very, very, very fragile. Anything can really change us and mold us very quickly if we don't have the tools and the means to, you know, create healthy limits and boundaries between ourselves. So, you know.
But you know, when we think about fragility, it means that we are not connected to our source of power, our source of self, our source of strength. You know, when you really look at it, one of the things I've studied as much as anything in my career over the 40-some years is how we defend ourselves. And
absolutely.
How the Chinese medicine and the different organs, there are different styles of defenses. Like the liver defends us with kind of hyperactivity and sort of a solid abutment. The spleen protects itself by being slippery. Oh, you look tall. Yeah, but I'm short. I like your dress. Yeah, but it's this. Or I don't like the food. Yeah, but it's good. It's hard to ever get them to sort of meet you. They're always kind of slipping away. And all the different organs have different styles of defense. The defense of the heart is openness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say, oh, I have a broken heart or this hurt my heart. But the truth is what really hurts, it's not the heart that gets hurt. It's the systems around the heart. It's the concepts or the ideas or the fears or protections that we had. And, you know, it was really about other things. But the heart itself is just open. And when we are so open, when we're not protecting ourselves, then how can someone hurt us? We're connected to our higher source. It's only a body, although we want to protect it. But what can somebody say? You know, you're a bad guy or you're a blankhead or, you know, whatever. It's just words. When we're really in our heart, we see the truth of whoever is speaking to us. We see their strength. We see their personality. We see their hurts. We see their attributes. And so how can someone like that hurt you? And also when we're in the heart, it's very difficult to be in the wrong place. Oh, I shouldn't go down that street, or maybe I don't want to go there right now. The heart really protects us by keeping us in the right place. And the most successful protection and defense mechanism is that of the heart, which is openness and awareness. And that's the process of enlightenment, is this crystalline awareness of everything that is, without fear and without trepidation. And all of a sudden, because it takes no energy, because the only defense is awareness, is seeing what is, where you want to be and where you don't want to be. It's interesting. You don't have to be a Buddhist, but the Buddhist said that there are three sources of suffering: desire, aversion, and ignorance. In other words, wanting something, not wanting something, or having a wrong idea about something. And actually, the first two come from ignorance. And so if we pay attention to what we're desiring, especially if it's taking over our life, well, I got to have that, or I won't be happy without it, or what do I do? I mean, that's going to make us unhappy. Wanting something is not bad. Oh, I need a new car, or, you know, I really feel like a cheeseburger, whatever. That's not an intrinsically bad thing. But when we stake our happiness on having it or not having it, that's what screws us up, makes us unhappy. If we're afraid of something, oh, I don't want that, I don't want to think that, I don't want to meet that kind of person, or I couldn't possibly wear that or, you know, eat that or whatever, it's the resistance that's the problem. It's not whatever we're resisting. And often we just have the wrong idea. We're so sure we're right that we miss the truth of something. We don't drop into clarity and stillness. And so when we drop into clarity and stillness, we begin to see what is. We begin to see the fallacy of fruitless activities, although we all do them. But we don't get so tied up in them to say our life depends on it. And that's how we begin to find peace and happiness in simplicity and stillness. And simplicity and stillness are not really part of most people's lives these days. running around trying to make a living to do this and that. Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but.
But it's true, though. You're right. You're absolutely right. Especially in this culture here, especially in the United States, Western culture, we don't really have we have such an influx of different belief systems to begin with that we don't really have. Just recently, just in the last, maybe 50, 60, 70 years maybe, we're starting to, bring in these ideas, where meditation, Qigong, all types, different types of forms of, modalities are just starting to scratch the surface. Because, me being working in this community myself, I see the people who suffer a lot.
We have to go back farther than that to the turn of the century. Madame Blavatsky and Theosophists, and really, it's, like 120 years now. But still, it's the same, It's the same, these new ideas that are giving people pause and something else to think about.
Yeah, and it's the younger generation, I think, is getting in a little bit better than, my generation is still kind of getting it, and they're trying to figure it out. I know I work with a lot of clients who, just never meditated. They've never had any drum healing. They've never had anything. It was just either you just pray, and that was it. But prayer is a form of meditation, and you have to explain that sometimes to people. What you're doing is setting intentions and affirmations, and you're creating these energetic flows through you. Sometimes I believe religion can be an apprehensive sometimes for people who, when they're willing to delve into something different, because it goes against their belief systems. It goes against their core. And when it goes against their core, then they're like, well, should I do this? Not everybody's like that, but I do see that a lot in the work I do, where people who are apprehensive about trying something new.
Well, there's an idea of soul age, and it's not hierarchical. Like a younger soul is not worse than an older soul. It's just different. And if we think about soul age as being how narrow or how wide our focus is, some people are born with a very narrow focus, and, that's their world and that's their life. And, sometimes they can open it, but that's kind of where their focus is, and you have to respect that. Some people are born with a very wide universal focus. And, most people are between somewhere. And so you can't make people wrong, but you have to sort of meet them where they are and then find a language. Like, prayer is a beautiful thing, If you're just praying for communion with God, however you interpret God to be, with a heart and wisdom, if you're praying for harm for somebody or if you're praying for some material thing, at some point, I feel it's going to feel a little bit shallow. It's not going to bring you happiness. It's not going to bring you peace. So whatever your practice is, whether you call it prayer or meditation, if you feel happy and peaceful about it, that's probably on the right track for you. And if you're not feeling happiness and peaceful from whatever your prayer or meditation is, then maybe you should look around and see how you could change that or who could help you. And these are just words, and unfortunately, our world is so polarized right now. Deliberately, I think there's some very powerful people that have worked for many generations now to polarize the country, because if the country is afraid and the country thinks bad things are happening and the country thinks immigrants are the problem, then all of a sudden now you can say that's bad and we'll protect you, and all of a sudden now you have political power. So it's very selfish what's going on. It's not really for humanity. It's for certain people trying to have power over things. And so as individuals who are trying to find a way of peace, trying to find happiness, trying to do something for the world, the greatest thing we can do as a beginning is to find truth in ourselves, find happiness in ourselves, find peace in ourselves. And as soon as we get that and we have that, then all of a sudden, are we just supposed to sit and meditate? Some people, yes. Is there action we can do in the world? Some people, yes. Should we teach something? Some people in the world, yes. And so from stillness and finding our own peace, that tends to spread. If people are just like in a riot, people get very excited, and that can sort of spread. But if the majority of people in a group like that are calm and peaceful, then it won't spread. And the chaos won't spread. It stops it, and it it steers it from within, and then also we know what to do. You know, so many people with good intentions screw things up. There's a famous story. I think it's true. But you know, there was a Peace Corps worker somewhere, I think in the 70s, who was in Nepal. And if you've ever seen pictures of these terraced fields in Asia, you know, all over Asia, they have these terraced rice fields on hills. And so that they slant downward. And so he got the idea that if they slanted inward, that they would hold the water. Well, I think after a year or two, all the fields collapsed because the water eroded all the inside and they lost thousands of years of soil because somebody had this idea. Well, you know, nothing wrong with an idea, but is it clever or is it wise? Is it for you to do something good or is it something that fits into the whole? And so as we begin to find peace and calm within ourselves and begin to know ourselves and begin to have a good sense of what's right and wrong for ourselves, not necessarily following a law or morality, but following how it feels to us, then all of a sudden our actions have a very different outcome with wisdom instead of cleverness. And I think our world needs a lot more than that. So,
I was going to ask you a question about how you see enlightenment, you know, especially do you see the awakening, you know, in people? I know enlightenment is like a very heavy charged word. And a lot of people are like, well, you're not enlightened or you haven't. You know, for me, enlightenment means to have enlightened moments versus being like this magical guy who's shining constantly. So I'm not sure how you see yourself in this process.
Well, I wouldn't want to say I was some enlightened being, so my answer is going to be less than enlightened. Mm-hmm. But from a certain standpoint, from the Buddhist teachings and even the Taoist teachings and at some point the more esoteric Christian teachings, we all have an enlightened nature. We all have a Buddha nature. We all have a part of us that's that deep, happy place I talked about a little while ago. Pretty much at the core of everybody. You know, my friends that work in prisons and psychiatrists and stuff say there's about 2-3% of the population you just can't touch. I don't think that means they don't have a Buddha nature. I just think that they're so wounded that you can't get at it. But most people have this place inside them. Now, if you look at the Chinese character for awakening, the Chinese character Zen for a human, and then the character for five, and then doors. So a person with five open senses. Now, we probably have more than five, but it's somebody that's awake, aware, and without limitations about who they are and what they see. That, you know, they're not suffering from desire, aversion, or ignorance. They're wide awake. And if you look at the Chinese character for Buddha, what you find is we have different lines of energy polarities in our body. The line that runs up the front of the body, and in this character, again, you see the character for human, and then you see the line that runs up the front of the body, the line that runs up the spine, and then you see an open space in between those two, kind of held loosely together. That's a Buddha, somebody that's connected, aware, and open. And so if we think that we have a Buddha nature, and in the Buddhist teachings, and again, please, you don't have to be Buddhist. Compassion is part of pretty much all the religions that I can tell, at least the ones that I'd be interested in. The more and more we get to ourselves, the more and more we feel compassion for life and people and being, because we feel that synergy. That's what the heart is. There's a terrible, terrible experiment where I guess it was rabbits, and they took beating hearts out of living rabbits, which just sounds cruel, but they put them in a dish with, you know, a liquid so the hearts would still keep beating, and within moments, the five hearts beat in unison.
Oh, wow.
Because the hearts sense the electromagnetic presence of other hearts, of other beings, and not just the heart itself. You know, once you get into an open state and a happy state and a connected state, you can feel plants. You can feel the connections in the earth. You know, that's how, you know, there was an Indian named Mad Bear that actually, you know, 20 years ago or however it was, he was hired by a ski resort that had no snow here in Santa Fe. He went there at 6 in the morning and beat his drum and felt it snowing, connected to the powers. And by night, there was so much snow that they couldn't even get there anymore. They had to get snow plows and dig them out. And so it's not because it's magic, it's because we're connected and focused.
Yes, absolutely.
So So enlightenment is this connection, and in the Buddhist tradition, there's three levels of practice. There's the practice where you're barking at something that's unknown in the back of the house, and now there's a practice where the first part where you get stability, where you actually you get to stillness, you get to acceptance of yourself, and that's the beginning stage. Then the second stage is the stage of selfless. The first stage is healing the self. The second stage is the selfless stage. And we don't try to be selfless until the self is healed. I mean, you don't want to kick people in the gutter, but the important thing is to heal yourself first. And once yourself is healed, then you don't even have to think about compassion, because that's what happens. Because your Buddha nature, your Christ consciousness, it exudes the connection that's now uncovered. The pain, the programming is now uncovered, and what's left is this radiant being, and that radiant being is selfless. So the second stage is the selfless stage of service and selflessness and love. The first stage is sort of self-love. Second stage is, you know, a bigger love. And then the third stage, the Vajrayana stage, or the more intricate stage if you're not a Buddhist, is to see the enlightened manifestation of all things. In other words, you realize that things are made of light and energy because you're clear enough to see that reality. The Buddhists call this the two truths. The one truth is, you know, there's a solid floor and solid walls, and, you know, things are solid and real. And the other half of that is those are all illusory, because you take any solid objects and you break it apart. I mean, you've all heard this analogy, you know, from molecules to atoms to particles and particles. And pretty soon you just have space and light. That's all there is, space and light. And so that's the other truth. And so the enlightened process is experiencing both of those truths fully, without resistance, without reactivity, and with full awareness. So we all have moments like that. And as we get more and more healed, as we learn to love, as we learn to accept and be open, but still have discrimination and awareness, then our enlightened moments gradually increase, and pretty soon that's where we live. And the enlightened essence is, it's the most normal thing. It's the most normal. It's the easiest space. I had an experience when I was 7 or 8. Somebody told me about infinity. And I couldn't imagine what that was. And I went to my mom, and she said, which I think was a good answer, "Oh, that's the play. That's something that doesn't begin or end." I went, "What?" I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah.
So I spent, I don't know, some time. I think it was a couple months. I really was paying attention, but I kept closing my eyes, and sometimes I would just try to go to that place that didn't begin or end. And one day I got there, and I went, "Oh yeah, okay." And many years later, I was doing retreat in the Himalayas. I realized that had been a bridge. From somewhere else, another time, another place, that I had brought that experience of emptiness, or non-duality, it's called often these days. And that's the space that everything arises from. So when you have the compassionate awareness and experience of what is, of the two truths, the truth of illusion that you're part of as a body, And the truth of the infinite, which you're part of as another body, then you have enlightenment. So we all have that.
Good.
Anyway, that's my unenlightened answer.
Very good. Let's take a quick break, come back. We're going to wrap it up here pretty quick. I'll give you some time to plug your weekend, and we shall return.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com. your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic, and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia, Iggy Garcia Live, Healing from the Inside Out with Peter Fairfield. We are here and we're going to be wrapping up here. So I'm going to give Peter a little bit of a window to talk about his upcoming seminar that he's having here in Columbus, Ohio, some contact information that he can give you. We hope you've been enjoying the show tonight. And Peter, you have the floor. Share what you'd like to share with these last few minutes that we have.
Well, thanks, Iggy, and I can really feel what a nice audience you have, and I'd like to invite you all to come to the workshop I'm giving in Columbus this weekend. It's called Healing from the Inside Out, and we're going to be using advanced intertransformational techniques, meditation, energy systems, and Qigong to heal, energize, awaken, transform physical, emotional, and spiritual parts of us. And we'll be doing both group and individual processes together, and it'll be a really good day. It's going to be June 2nd and 3rd, this Saturday and Sunday, and it's from 9:30 to 4:30 both days, and it's going to be at 5672 Peyton in Columbus. And if you want to schedule, if you want to sign up, you can call me or call Jacqueline Smith in Columbus, and her number is 614-436-8831. That's 614-436-8831. And if you want to check me out, I'm going to be giving a Friday night talk at Body Wisdom at 3001 Indianola Avenue in Columbus. And the talk is Awake, Aware, and Happy in Interesting Times. And that's from 7 to 8:30. And so if you can also call me if you'd like to talk to me or work with me directly. My number is 415-377-0862, 415-377-0862. Also, my website is oneinfinitehearts.com. And my I think I have a YouTube channel up called Tara Center, probably just under Peter Fairfield. I'm happy to also, I think there's a few spaces left to see people on Monday. I'll be leaving town on Tuesday, and I work with a lot of people on the phone. If you just want to talk to me, again, you can call me at 415-377-0862, and my email is mysticalbody@yahoo.com. So that's the advertisement, and I'd love to see you there. It'll be fun. We'll have a good group. And Iggy, if you're interested, please come as my guest, and we should have a really good weekend.
Awesome. I want to thank you for taking some time to share with the listeners here in Columbus, Ohio, and in Australia and all over the world. Our show is broadcasted live on the internet here, so it's always a pleasure to have people from our community sharing their ideas, their beliefs, and reminding us about things that we maybe have forgotten. So I want to thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, my friend.
Well, that was a nice show.
Good. Thank you very much. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you're here. And thank you for, I'll have to bring you back on again so we can share and just talk a little bit. I kind of like enjoying just talking and just kind of getting into there. It's never enough time, but, you know, that's how it is on radio.
Yeah. And look, you know, you're really, I think it'll be a small group, but you're welcome to come if you want as my guest this weekend, even just Saturday.
Good. I'll do my best to show up. I have some other events too that I also host, but I can't promise you, but I might come Friday and check you out and meet you in person.
Yeah.
That way at least I can see you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Very good.
Thanks,
Peter,
man.
Thank you for
appreciate
being on our show tonight. You take care. You have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you soon,
you
my
too.
Friend.
Okay.
Be well.
Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that show today with Peter Fairfield. He was sharing his wisdom, his insights with us, and hopefully you can come to his event coming up here, Healing from Within, Inside Out. Okay, I guess Friday he'll be at the Body Wisdom at 3001 Indianola Avenue. That's June 1st, I believe, from 7 to 8:30, so hopefully you can come. Tomorrow we'll have a sound bath healing at Whetstone Park at 6 o'clock to 8:30, for those of you who can come. And from there, I want to say goodnight. I want to say ho'oponopono. Thank you for being on with us. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to be on our show and listening to our guests. I'm Iggy Garcia, Iggy Garcia Live. I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care. Peace and love.